Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll say this much. It's good to be in Macon, Georgia. We have taken off the Ohio tags and put on Bibb County tags on the Little Red Rabbit. Got the operator's permit turned around. And I don't know what else we'll do. I don't know what Sister Douglas can do to get acclimated to Georgia. It may take her a little more time than it does me, because I guess maybe doesn't have the call. She's just married to it. But it's good to be here. We're going to move quickly tonight into this study on soul winning and its personal evangelism. Tonight, we're going to cover the why you need personal evangelism. Now, let me say at the outset that if my remarks become strong in one direction, and they will, I am not in any way taking away from any success or any achievement that you've made to date. Thank God for them. I was here for most of the Sundays and the contest, and I have observed this church from about the 1st of July last year until today, and it's not the same church. It's an entirely different church, and I don't mean different people. There are different people here, but I mean you have a different spirit, if I know anything about the spirit of a church, tonight than you had last July. And with the revival that Brother Cole preached, and with the move of God that was there, and with the success and the efforts that you put out there, Brother Johnson and I both have discussed this and feel that we're ready to reach for a little higher plateau, to go a little higher. Can you say amen? So what I'm going to offer you tonight is not something that I just dreamed up, nor is it something that has not been tried. And if it sounds like when I tell you about some of my personal experiences that I'm, you know, bragging on myself, I'm not. I'm bragging on Jesus. And whatever God has done through me or any other saint of God, as far as I'm concerned, he can do through you. We do have some ideas and some notions in Pentecost that have prevented us, I believe, in working toward the lost like they did in the early church. And tonight we're going to look at those in depth. But remember now that I'm not against anything you have done. I just want to show you another way or a better way. And if you like what you hear, if you try it. What we usually do is have three nights of seminar, and the following morning we go out with some of the folks and actually show you what you're taught, how it can work. Because if you learn something and don't put it into use, it's useless. It's just idle information. It's like Paul said when he looks in a glass and turns around and forgets what he saw. So what you learn here tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, if you don't put it to use, well, that's between you and the Lord. But it will work. It has worked for me. As a matter of fact, since I've been to Macon, and most of you know that I've been gone except on the weekends, busy running here and there, 45,000 miles since the 1st of July, travel mostly in Georgia. Brother Johnson and I were talking about a need of a certain type of individual that we want to reach this particular group, and I said, let's ask God, and within a few days, I walked into a place of business, and within just a few minutes, through the leading of the Holy Ghost, I was talking to a man about his soul, took him to lunch, and before he even sat down in a chair, he began to ask me. And you know what I did? I put a big mark in that fellow's forehead. I'm not talking about actually, but in my mind, I put a big X, like the scripture over in the Old Testament, the fellow that went down through the crowd marking those. We're going to have that man in this church. Something else that happened to me, and I'm going to tell you what happened to me because it'll happen to you, and it's happened in other churches. I've taught this in, I guess, a half a dozen or more churches since the Lord dealt with me about it a few years ago. Wife and I came into Sears on a Saturday night, and I was so tired from having worked so hard that week, about 60 hours, that I just literally collapsed in one of those chairs they have set scattered about different places. And in just a few moments' time, the Spirit said, I've got somebody I want you to meet. And the man came and sat down right across in the next chair. And to make a long story short, in a few minutes' time, I mean less than 2 minutes, We were laying hands on him and praying for him, and God was touching him, and he felt the power and the Spirit of God, and come to find out he lives next to one of the brothers here, and we're going to get that man in the church. I said, we're going to get that man in the church. My faith says he's going to be sitting in these pews talking in tongues in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is the second most important subject in the Bible. The most important subject, of course, is how to be saved. And you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't know about that subject. But the second most important subject is how to reach the lost. This is the subject that's closest to the heart of God. And if you want to please God, then you listen and endeavor to follow what we suggest. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about is the business of inviting folks to church versus soul winning. That's not the same subject. You may invite 100 people to church. How many show up? Let me make a little survey. And I know you did a good job during the contest, but how many here feel like that out of every 100 people you invite to church, you get 50 here? Anybody? Get 50 out of 100? Well, anybody get 20? 20 out of 100? Anybody get 10? Anybody get 5? Surely somebody gets 5. Come on, be honest with me now. I'm going to get you involved. This isn't just me. This is you. Anybody get 5 out of 100? Can honestly say this? You mean the ratio is less than that? 3 out of 100? 2? Well, now, you got a bunch of people here for the contest. There's got to be 1 out of 100? Somewhere down there, isn't it? Between 1 and 5. Well, let me ask you a question. Every time you went out and started your car, turned the key, if you turned it 100 times and it only started 3 times, there'd be something wrong with it. You'd find a better way. You'd figure out, you know, a new battery or a new car or do something. See? This is what we want to share with you. Praise God. And I'm not against inviting folks to church. I just don't do it very often because I feel like there's a better way. Why you're not, can everybody see that? Why you're not successful? All right. What percent respond to your invitation? It's very low. Less than 5%. Now here's another question. What percent get saved first visit? Is that focus all right, Brother Johnson? That better? All right. What percent get saved the first time? We're thrilled when somebody comes to church the first time and gets the Holy Ghost. But what's the percentage? Let me say this. This pulpit, from this pulpit, this city will not hear the gospel. There is no way. For the simple reason that the city is not going to come, the people are not going to come and sit in the pews. Thank you. Even if you have a radio broadcast, it's just not going to get the job done. But every one of you have what we call a circle of influence. People that you know, people that you see, people that you come in contact. And this young man sees people that Brother Johnson will never see. And this lady over here sees people that this young man will never see. If we can find a way that each one of us, within our own daily walk, can reach out and touch the people and affect them and make them want to come here. Now, this is the ultimate goal. Because the Lord's coming after the church. And thank God we're in the church. And I'm not talking about this local assembly. But the problem that we've had in the past is that we go up to somebody and we say, won't you come visit our church Sunday? Have you ever stopped to think their reaction? What's going on in their mind? Well, before we get into that, let's review what it takes to be saved. Now, if I ask you that question, you'd say Acts 2:38. Well, that's right. But there's something that you need before Acts 2:38. Can anybody tell me what it is? Well, here it is. Knowledge. You got to know about it. See, Acts 2:38 is in the Bible, and the precious brother goes, or sister, or young man goes various places, But he doesn't know about Acts 2:38. The first thing that you have to be saved is knowledge. Now, you have the ability to pass that knowledge on to folks. You say, well, I can't talk to the banker. Maybe you're not supposed to talk to the banker, but you got a neighbor. The second thing, besides knowledge, is the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. That's part of this course. And we'll get into that tomorrow night, and Saturday night will be how to. And of course, number four is action. You've got to do something about it. I have found and I have taught folks, and they have discovered that any time you move within the plan of God according to His purpose, that the Spirit of God will work with you. And that's what we'll get into that a little later on. The Spirit of God drawing people and understanding and action on the part of the people. But what happens when you invite them to church? Well, let me be very frank with you. First of all, they refuse. They may do it nicely. I'll get this straight in a minute here. Can you see that all right? They refuse, or they make excuse, or they flat out lie. They said, I'll be there, and they're not here. To me, that's, you know. All right? Hey, let's face it. Now, I'm going to talk very, very frankly to you. I'm teaching. I'm not going to preach tonight. My wife asked, are you going to preach or teach? I said, I'm going to teach. The Lord help me. All right? Here's why. They have no real reason. In their mind, they have no real reason to come to your church. No wonder they don't come. You have not given them a reason, except your smile and you're congenial, and maybe you know them, maybe they've been your neighbor for 6 months. But until you give them a reason, they're not going to do it. Or they'll come just to... Your persistence amounts to pressure, and they'll come just to get you off their back. Show up one time, and maybe God will get a hold of them, and maybe, you know, maybe they'll get the Holy Ghost, and maybe they won't. Sometimes they go away from here more confused and with more of misunderstandings and misconceptions about what's happening here than they would if you had laid the proper groundwork and talked to them and said something to them before you got them here. And I'm not talking about explaining about shouting or talking tongues, anything like that. Let me put it this way. First time you went up to the little girl you married, first time you saw her, said, would you marry me? What would have happened? She said, you're crazy. What do you have to do? You have to get acquainted. You have to give her a reason for saying yes. Right? I see some smiles on that. Some folks going to ask questions, Brother Johnson. You better get your tuxedo ready. Really, and the principle is the same. Let me give you a little more information on that. There are about 2,200 different denominations. And in this town, I don't know how many churches, there's probably 500 churches or more. In the state of Georgia, for example, there are 10,000 Baptist churches alone. In the minds and in the eyes of the folks that you invite to church, you are just another church until something happens that lets them know that you're different. Now, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about, is what to do to make the difference. All right? Because if we're not different, then we better change the sign. All right? Praise God. There is a better way. Praise God. Now, folks are embarrassed when you invite them to church. You know that? They don't want to. And especially, particularly in the South, they don't want to say no, but there's no reason for them to come out here. So we're going to give you some ways of giving them a reason. Now, in the first century, there were only three categories: Hebrews and heathens and apostolic. There wasn't 2,200 different denominations. But if it was important for the early church to be personal soul winners, and I'm going to show you by the scripture that they were, then it's even more important for us today. And here's another look at it. Brother Johnson tries to do it all. We'll have to, you know, we'll have to have somebody else preach his funeral before the year's out. One man cannot do it all, but everybody putting their effort and their own shoulder, as the saying is, to the wheel, will get the job done. Now, there are three types of evangelism. First is live a Christian life. Everybody heard that saying, I'm going to live a good life? People will see that and get saved? How many have heard that? We're going to talk about that in a minute. The second is mass evangelism. Now, in that mass evangelism, this is what I'm doing now. You all hear it a bunch. And I'm talking to you, whether it's on radio, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's a preacher, or whether it's in the park, or however it is. It's a bunch of people listening to one guy. That's mass. And the third is personal. Now, it's common in instruction that you can get more across to an individual on an individual basis. How many in school had personal instructions and teachers? Of course, you hear that. Well, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. Maybe that was the wrong question. Here's some reasons the early church grew. Personal contact. There we go. Personal contact is the most effective way to transmit information. Early Christians were aflame, and their message was the most important subject to them. Now, I might stop here, and I've actually got enough in this one night to go about three nights, but I'm going to go quickly. You will do what you're thinking about all the time. If you're thinking about a new car, that's what you're going to work for. If you're thinking about soul winning, that's what you're going to get involved in. And I believe, and I say this sincerely, that unless you are concerned with soul winning, you're not going to make it. Because there's a weakness in your spiritual makeup. Because if winning souls, if getting people filled with the Spirit and getting the church ready for the rapture is the nearest thing to God's heart, and it's not the nearest thing to your heart. Whew. Yes, sir. But I'm glad everybody is concerned. Everybody in the first church was a soul winner. Oh, Lord, look at this. I hesitate even to write that down there. Now we drag them to church and expect the pastor to pray them through. And I've been watching the altar service. I said I've been watching it. Of course, it's a different when you're a minister. You go into a new church, you don't run around laying hands on everybody. That's an understandable thing. But the saints of God are the ones that are responsible for souls being born into the kingdom. Now, a lot of us in churches have said, the pastor, we pay him, he's going to do it. Mm-mm. No. If you want a church that's growing, that's militant, that's going to move, that's going to touch this city, that's going to achieve things for God, if you want to be loose from your own problems and difficulties and get the victory over everything that gets in your way, then get involved in soul winning. You know why? Because when God sees that you have His purpose at heart, He is going to move heaven and earth to clear a path for you. Because there ain't too many people that way. We're all too concerned with ourselves. Me and my four and no more. In fact, one of the best ways, and I preached this in Louisiana 4 or 5 years ago, or I forget how long now, about the best way to get your loved ones in is get strongly involved in winning somebody else, and God will send somebody along, and they'll be in the church before you know it. The Lord sent a man and his wife from South Louisiana all the way to Ohio, and Sister Douglas, we received the Holy Ghost in our living room about 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, the Lord sent the couple up there. They told me that was the reason we came to Ohio. See, God will move heaven and earth if you're a man or a woman after His own heart. God favored David. Hallelujah. Called Christ the Son of David. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And as we said, in the first century, there were Hebrews, heathens, and apostolics. That's even more reason for personal evangelism. Now, here's some groups, and we're not going to go into these in detail. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the cults, the Krishnas, the Way, the Children of God, and I could give you a whole lesson on those. What are they doing? They're dedicated. One man came to New York 20 years ago and didn't have just a few dollars in his pocket. Now he has millions that follow him, that Hare Krishna bunch. Now, if they can do that and not have the truth, my God, what can we do with the truth? This is the kingdom of God. This is the church of God. This is the church that's going up in the rapture. Or do you believe that? All right. Now, you see why I get excited about personal evangelism. Let's go back to that first subject on living a Christian life. Some people say, I think a man's action speaks louder than his words, so I'll just let my life witness for him. My friend, now fasten your seatbelt. That is the supreme height of self-righteousness. Spiritual pride in a life is so holy that all people have to do is look at you. Now, I'm not against living holy. If you don't have it, you're not going to make the rapture. However, can you imagine the scene along the beach in Galilee there on a bright sunny morning, and here goes a man walking down through there, and he stops the funeral and takes hold of a man's hand and lifts him up. He comes up out of the and comes to life and goes on, and he lays hands on a leper and not saying a word. Jesus would have failed had he not spoke to the people, had he not taught them. Hey, 210 times he uses the expression taught in the New Testament as opposed to about 110 times preaching. And I'm not against preaching. Hope not. I got the tag on me. It says preacher. But what I'm saying is that we as Christians, every one of you, have got the Holy Ghost. And that's all God could give you. You've got your own native intelligence and your own ability. What else do you need? You got the book. Before we're through, we're going to show you how to use the book. How to combat, how to answer that beliefism doctrine that's in the world today. Believe, and that's all there is. So we'll give you a few simple scriptures. You don't have to know the book from cover to cover. You don't have to answer the question on who, you know, where'd Cain's wife come from. We'll show you on Saturday night how to get around these things, the tricks that the devil pulls. One Saturday morning, we had taught in a church in Ohio, and we went out on a Saturday morning. We only had an hour and a half, and I went out with a couple young men. We talked to five people in an hour and a half. One of them was Jehovah's Witness. They're kind of tough, aren't they? How many's ever run into them? Y'all with me? All right, I got to check once in a while. Well, walked up to the door. The little lady was knocking on the door, and I said, "Hello there." She had a Bible in her hand. That was the key. She had her Bible in her hand. It don't matter. Would you believe, with the help of the Lord, in about 10 minutes, she said, "I see that, Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, you need it." I just turned her to the scriptures in her Bible, said, "Get this, get this, get this." And the Spirit of God gave me the ability to bind her spirit and keep her from, in other words, controlling the situation. See, God will give you what you need in the situation in which you find yourself to accomplish His purpose. That Saturday night, I sat down in the chair at Sears. I was so tired, I could hardly hold my head up. Would you believe when the Holy Ghost spoke to me, all that tiredness disappeared? It's just like I'd had 12 hours sleep. I was ready. I said, "Lord, come on, where are they at? I'm ready for it." And I've run into that man a couple of times in the mall. Worked on him a little more. Now, there's a how-to. That's Saturday night. We don't get into that. But if you want to learn about George Washington, go down to the park and just sit down in front of his statue and look at it. You won't learn much, will you? Then people need more from you than just your Pentecostal dress or Pentecostal hairdo. God gave you the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go into that in a little bit, and maybe tomorrow night. Acts 1 and 8. It's right there. Your silent witness is good, but it's too slow. Imagine the Lord walking up and down and never saying anything. He would have failed, and you will too. Now, the second method of evangelism, of course, is revival. And that's a combination of many methods, but it's an approach to the soul of man. Preaching, singing, praying, the testimony, the altar appeal, all has a focus on getting the soul saved. This is the way we have been doing it for years. Would you believe? I don't think we've done the job. Would you believe? I don't think we have reached the city. We have reached the masses of people. I go up and down this city and other cities, and I say, "My Lord, let me stop right here. I'll get involved 23 hours a day, if possible, talking to people." And you know, and I'm going to prove this to you before this is over, not tonight, but before the seminar is over, that the Holy Ghost will work with you. Now, some of you are saying, "Oh, I don't know how to talk, and I'm afraid, and I wonder what he's talking about." Well, Revival is where the majority of people receive the Holy Ghost. But let me ask you a question, and this is about the recent contest. We brought, 200 or 300 visitors? How many of them went out, came in here one time, twice, under the pressure, if you will let me use that word, of the contest and your persuasion, and they're gone, and then what happens? How would you like to have them come in with you talking in tongues as they come in the door? That happened in a church in Mississippi. I told them, I said, God will give you that if you will just work in his vineyard. And a couple ladies went out, and they come dancing back in and prayed a lady through the Holy Ghost in her living room. I was walking down the street in Kansas City, Missouri, a couple of years ago, and I pray it. Of course, we'll get into dedication. That's tomorrow night. What you have to do. There are some requirements. There is a price. There is a price. You may not want to pay the price, but there is a price. But you can have revival in your own heart and in your city. I didn't say in this church. I said in your city. Raise your sight from just these pews to this city that's lost and going to hell. And I'm not minimizing this church. I love this church and everybody here. But God help us to go beyond the house of the Lord. What does the song say? My house is full, my fields are empty. Saints of God, the Lord goes with each one of us when we leave here. And he stands patiently waiting for us to do or say something that will enable him to move by his Spirit upon someone to cause them to feel his Spirit and make them hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember the first thing to be saved? Knowledge. You got to have some knowledge planted some way, somehow. Secondly, they must feel the Spirit of God. God must draw them. And third, they must understand and do something about it. Anyhow, walking up the street in Kansas City, Missouri, I said, God, I got to have a soul. I said, I've been teaching this, and this happened here, and we won one here, and one there, and one there, and so forth. I said, I got to have a soul now. I went two blocks and went into a restaurant and sat down and ordered a cup of coffee. And sitting in the stool next to me was Steve, and I forget his last name. I have it on my diary. And with him was a couple of young ladies going to a convention. I was at a convention with another minister. It wasn't one of our conventions. It was on business. To make a long story short, I talked to Steve then. I talked to him next day and the third day. Took him across the river to Kansas City, Kansas, to the little UPC church. Now, Steve had just been kicked out of the Army. I think he'd been kicked out. He'd been involved in drugs. His speech was slurred. His brain was impaired. It was obvious that he had a problem. But, oh, the Spirit of God let me reach him. When he come up out of that water, he was talking in tongues, and God instantly and miraculously and absolutely healed him. Changed his speech, changed his whole. In fact, the pastor looked at him and began to scratch his head, wondering what had happened. I mean, our pastor, the UPC pastor there. Steve went on his way to New Mexico, and I went back to Ohio. A year or so later, I was at another convention in Columbus, Ohio. The Spirit said, go outside. It was on a Monday afternoon before the convention really got started. I walked out, and there's a young man sitting there on a bench reading the Bible. And this is a convention where the folks come, and they carry the big Bibles. Sometimes we're a little ashamed to carry them, but those folks had big Bibles. I mean, the family Bibles, not bigger than this. Of course, they didn't understand them, but they were carrying them. I sat down next to the young man. I said, son, I introduced myself. Do you understand what you're reading? Does that sound familiar? To make a long story short, in 15 minutes, he was weeping and crying and said, I need the Holy Ghost. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, well, all right. Now, I didn't know any churches around there, but I knew the Lord wouldn't leave any loose ends. He never leaves any loose ends. Praise God. So he said, well, I come on the bus with some folks. Let me go tell them. I said, you go tell them. I'll take you home. I'll see you get home. Well, he came back in about 10 minutes. He had another young man with him. He said, well, you tell this young man what? I said, no. I said, you tell him. And they took off and come back about 30 minutes later, and they're both weeping and crying. To make a long story short, took them both to Brother Jack's church up there in Lancaster, Ohio. Introduced him to him. He talked to him for about 5 minutes. They knelt at the altar. In less than 5 minutes, one of them was talking in tongues. He baptized them both in Jesus' name. Hey, we make it too difficult to win souls. This is the reason why we get the Holy Ghost. How many of you have won a soul I didn't say invited folks to church. Now, that is not the same thing. Because if you invite them to church, or drag them to church, or get them to church, and that's all right. If that's all you can do, praise God. And Brother Johnson preaches, and he lays hands on them, and they get talking tongues, or the saints praise them through. Mm-mm. You may get, you know, a percentage, but you ain't getting full credit. All right? Well, glory. I got so many notes, I'm trying to put them all together. All right, without personal evangelism, revival will die. Now, you've had 5 weeks as one of the best preachers that I've seen, and God has moved. He's given you souls. But without you as an individual taking a hold of the revival fire and clasping it in your breast and let it burn and consume you and get you involved in a personal revival, it will die for you. I don't think it's going to die for the church, because this church is moving on. Praise God. That's why I came here. There's other churches in Georgia, but the Lord said here. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in Macon, Georgia at the United Pentecostal Church on Hollis Road. Praise God. This is where it's happening. Hallelujah. And this is where it's going to happen, too. If you want to be part of it, come on. We're glad to have you. If not, well, just watch. We'll leave you in the dust. If you don't do the job, God has another group of people lined up already waiting in the wings to take over. And I could tell you more about that, but I won't. Personal evangelism is the greatest method to win souls. Revivals die or are never born simply because no one personally worked to see that hungry souls are present to hear the evangelist or pastor. All right? And I'm trying to condense this a whole lot. Personal. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 to go teach, make disciples. And the word teach is used twice as many times as preach. You have the ability, and I'm sure your pastor is going to ensure that the adequate training is made available, to teach folks enough so that they will understand where they are and what they need, and then I will show you and demonstrate how the Spirit of God will move into personal contact. I don't care where it is. I've had atheists standing on the steps. I've been in funeral homes, in hospitals. Prayed one lady through in the hospital bed before she was going for open heart surgery. Talked in tongues. Walked into a funeral home with a pastor. Introduced me to a man just inside the door. Said, I want you to meet so-and-so. He used to bless us with his testimony. That word used to screamed at me like a neon light. It began to flash. And the pastor went on. This old Indian and I standing there in the funeral home. 20 feet away, his brother was in the coffin. I just put my arm around him. I said, brother, I said, you don't look like a has-been. I said, I know we're not in church and we don't have, you know, 14 saints to pray with you and all that stuff. I know where we're at. But wouldn't you like to feel God? Oh, the tears began to roll down his cheeks. I said, let's pray. We had us a prayer meeting right there. Now, what went on from that, I don't know. Sometimes in this personal evangelism, one plants the seed, another waters, another gets the increase. 15 or 20 years ago, I planted some seed in the city of Michigan, and the results are starting to happen now in our family. And that's another story. Praise God. Hosea 4:6 says, for lack of knowledge, the people perish. Now, you could put that two ways. Because we don't know how to move and work with the Spirit of God and reach souls in a personal way. Souls are perishing. We're going to perish. We're not going to do and achieve the purpose of God like He wants us to. And, of course, the souls are going to perish because they don't know. How many people in this city have never heard the truth? Can you imagine? I know you knocked on 7,000 doors, and that's beautiful. And we had a soul patrol in Ohio, and we mapped out the city and laid the streets out, and we're going to hit every one of them and do some callbacks and follow through. Follow through is the thing. When you knock on a door, you should be able to classify that particular contact, whether it's a callback or not. Some of them, we've had people knock on doors, and they say, oh, please come in and pray for my daughter. She's sick. You need to know what to do to evaluate your contact, how to know whether or not this individual is responding. We'll get into this on Saturday. One out of three people, according to a survey, wants a Pentecostal experience. One out of three. Now, if that money will admit to it, my goodness. All right, it's an educational process. Teaching method is employed. Jesus said, go teach as well as go preach. The main method of the Lord was personal evangelism. Do you know that? You ever stop thinking? He set the precedent. He established the order when he set out. And I found that a while ago at home, and I just began to shout. I had never seen that before over in Luke, I believe it was, where he said he sent out another 70. I always thought he just sent out 70. But it said he sent out another 70. How many 70s before that? I don't know. And they went out two by two. Oh, mercy. Let's see. Maybe we can get to that. There's a little bit there we need to touch on. I believe it's Luke, 10th chapter, I think. Praise God. Where he sent out another 70. Luke or John, it's the 10th chapter there somewhere. Praise God. But there's a lesson in there. I could teach just from there on personal evangelism. Oh, it must be Luke. Is it Luke? Okay. Luke 10:1, yeah. Sent out and appointed another 70. Now, my suggestion is two and two. I think you're doing that in your context already. All right? Harvest is great. Send you forth. Oh, let's see. Into whatever house you enter first. He even tells you how. To get acquainted. So we're going to talk about that Saturday. I'm getting on Saturday's lesson. Peace be to the Saturday. How y'all doing today? You know what I say when I'm in a store and a lot of time restaurants, people say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great with the good Lord's help. Now, that's not just an idle phrase. That's not just a slang expression. When I say with the good Lord's help, out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching that person. Because I want to see whether that needle moves on that meter, you know, in my soul that says, hey, this is a prospect. What they say, their reaction tells me where they're at with the Lord. Here's another thing. And I'm getting into Saturday, but instead of saying, come on to church, ask them a question. So you believe the Lord's coming? Well, now everybody in the South is going to say yes. Because everybody believes the Lord's coming. I don't care what church you go to. So the next question is, what do you think we ought to do to be ready? Huh? Try that. And listen to what they say. See, you got to learn to listen. In fact, we need a class just on listening. The art of listening. I heard something about that before, about listening. I found out I didn't listen as well as I ought to. Listening. You've got to learn to listen. The one reason why we do not reach for souls is we are not aware of their existence. Let me say that again. The book says in Revelation, behold, I set before you an open door. It's there. But the problem is we don't see it. We just do not see it. I made this statement. I can go anywhere in the world in 30 minutes. If I can speak the language, I can talk to somebody about the soul, their soul, and the Holy Ghost will move on them. I mean, we'll get us a convert. Maybe not every time. Because they get to a certain point and they're going to have to say yes or no to God, and you've done your job. But you see, inviting them to church isn't it. That don't cut it. That don't get the job done. In fact, a lot of times that creates problems for you. You know that? Because if they know you want to drag them to your church, they don't know your church or anything about it. And they've heard some wild tales about your church. So when you're trying to get them here, they are just, you know, heel marks all the way across the yard. We probably have them out on the blacktop from this contest, which is all right. But my Lord, we want them, when they get here, to know what it's all about and to have felt, listen to this, to have felt the Spirit of God before they ever get to the church. Well, you say, well, Brother Johnson's supposed to do all that. No. Brother Johnson baptized him. Brother Johnson pastor. Sheep beget sheep, not the shepherd. Sheep beget sheep. You, my friends, are responsible for this city. I said you are responsible for this city. And the people you see, wherever you go and you come in contact with, and I'm not talking about taking Thursday morning off to knock doors, that's all right, but I'm talking about every day, everywhere you go, wherever you are, the people that you see, that you eyeball to eyeball with, and whatever you do, you are responsible for them, whether or not they hear the message of the truth, and it means whether or not they're going to be saved. I said it means whether or not they're going to be saved, whether or not you present it to them in such a fashion that they can understand, accept it, or reject it. You say, well, I invited them to church. Mm-mm. They don't get it. That's why I don't, as a general rule, invite folks to church. This man I was working on the other day, oh, the Lord moved on. He felt the Spirit of God sitting right there in the restaurant. And I just went on like, you know, just having a good time, but all the time I was watching him. Finally, he said, where do you go to church? I said, oh, I go over there to First Pentecostal Church. And went on to the center of the conversation. I didn't invite him to church. I'll take it back. I said, well, sometimes if you want to, you can come by and see us. That's about the way I did it. Any fishermen in the crowd? Come on, let's see your hands. Any fishermen? There ought to be one or two here. I see you got some largemouth bass down here. You tie a piece of concrete on the end of your 14-ounce line and throw it out there and then splash it around the lily pad, you're not going to catch no fish, are you? What do? You get that little frog surface lure and you slip it out there and drop it right on the lily pad and let it stay there just a few seconds until everything's quiet and you ease it off in the water. Jiggle it just a little bit. Just a little more. And you know there's a big one there. You've got to be extra careful. And all of a sudden, boom, that thing explodes. And you got your hooks into a big one. Then what do? Just going to drag him right in? No. My goodness, you'll tear it out of his mouth. You'll break the line. No, you keep a tight reel, don't you? Tight line. And you play that thing. Right? Didn't the book say you make you fishers of men? There's a principle there. You got to know how, too. Of course, that's Saturday night. Well, you read that 11th chapter of Luke, or 10th chapter of Luke. I'm not going to be able to go into it in depth. I do have some notes here somewhere about going into the house, about the whole lesson there. Yeah, verse 16, here it is. He that heareth you, heareth me. You know, you, saint of God, can be the mouthpiece of the Lord. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. I know that. But you're called to witness. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And one translation says, you must be witnesses. You must be witnesses. You must be witnesses. You must be witnesses. And it goes on to where? You know the Scripture as well as I do. Ah, Lord. We've got to have personal evangelism. Well, what this course will do, I'm kind of getting to outlining, give you the spiritual concept of our responsibilities to the Lord as a church and as individuals, some specific how-to ideas so you can get the job done without spinning your wheels. We're going to have questions and hopefully answers here after a bit. It will call for rededication and renewal on the part of everyone participating. I said it will call for renewal and rededication on the part of everyone participating. It will be a partial review of how the early church had revival and grew, and we started on that a minute ago. A close look at what personal evangelism will do for you personally. We're going to cover that tonight. Some guidelines and specific assignments perhaps on how to get the job done. How many want to really get the job done for the Lord? All right. Okay. All right. I just wonder if you have never, just you personally, prayed somebody through to the Holy Ghost. You talk about a thrill. My Lord, ain't nothing like it. I mean, getting to church is all right. But when you can look across the aisle and say, we visited her in her home. Sister Jones and I prayed her through. Look at here. She's in the church now. And this one over here. And this one. By the way, that's what Search for Truth is for. It isn't to hornswoggle them into your church. And believe me, people are no dummies today. They've been through the school of how to resist the apostolics. But listen, the Holy Ghost can give you the wisdom on how to get the job done. All right? Well, glory. Power for witness, Acts 1 and 8. You know, there's some reasons for lack of growth, they say. I read those here a while back. Shortage of evangelists, lack of fellowship, circumstances in the church where me became pastor, poor facilities, bad economy, burned over area. Oh, let me read some more. We got to explode this. I have a shy nature. I've never been able to talk to people. You know I'm very reserved. I don't think we ought to push people. He's a salesman. I don't know how to sell. The folks on my block are just not interested. I live in a very strange neighborhood. My job has me tied down lately. I just can't get my housework finished. I think it's more important to keep a home than to be out beating the streets all day. My children demand so much of my time. It seems to me that all we do is go to church. Are we ever supposed to have any time for our families and ourselves? I've tried and tried, and it's no use. The Lord didn't call me to knock doors. I thought we paid the preacher to do the visiting. I couldn't sell a glass of water to a man dying of thirst. Let Henry do it. He could sell a snowball to an Eskimo. Do you have any to add to this list of excuses? Huh? You know what an excuse is, don't you? That's the skin, just the skin of a reason stuffed with several lies from the devil. Like a sausage, you know. Skin of a reason. It's a little bad with something there. You know, we do have to work. We do have to maintain a house. But there is... Oh, my Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth... Y'all don't live in the same neighborhood, do you? No. You live in different parts of town. You go all over town every day. And you go here and there and everywhere, in the base and north and south and east and west. And oh, if you can catch the fire of personal evangelism and like the foxes that Samson turned loose in the wheat fields as they went down through the Philistines' free wheat fields, the fire just spread and spread and spread and spread and spread. That's what we want to do. Praise God. That's why we're up here talking. Hallelujah. All right, are there any questions about what I have covered to this point? Anybody like to ask a question about what I've covered to this point? Well, if you don't, I'm going to have some questions of you. I've got to know whether I'm reaching you or not. Anybody? Don't think it's a dumb question. Just stand up. No, it's not. Anybody? All right. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, Jesus' entire ministry pointed to Pentecost. Let me give you a point here. Prior to Pentecost, saints, all the disciples were behind closed doors in fear, especially after Jesus was crucified. But, oh, after Pentecost, they hit the streets, didn't they? Are you still living before Pentecost? I got a message someday I'm going to preach somewhere about comparing with Cornelius before he got the Holy Ghost. Some of us cannot compare with him before he got the Holy Ghost. The growth of the first church, primarily unlearned men. The book says so. Lack of communications. We didn't have radio and cars and all this business, newspaper, etc. And I get up in Macon and go to work in Fitzgerald and come back to Macon. They didn't have that. Paul, in the space of 2 years, covered all of Asia. And I understand he was a little old snip of a fellow, about half blind. Now, what could some of these strong, you know, intelligent, husky ladies and men do here? Well, I don't know you call a lady husky, but you know what I'm talking about. Hey, I got your attention. All right? The end of the first century, there was about 200,000. End of the second century, about 8 million. End of the third century, it was the accepted religion in the world, in apostasy. The reason the first church grew, there was personal contact. Christians were aflame and everybody was a soul winner. Hallelujah. Now, here are some of the outstanding characteristics of the early church. This is getting in a little bit to tomorrow. And incidentally, on your motivation, if you had that you were here the other night, the bottom of the first page says the best way to have church growth and revival is to get each person interested and involved. Interested and involved in reaching a soul at their own level. Hey, that's what it's all about. They didn't know I was going to teach from there. But you see, the Lord's put all this together. The Lord has organized a schedule for this church. Praise God. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Prevalent in prayer. You'll never be a soul winner unless you know how to pray. Let me give you a little bit of a point on that. I don't know where I'll use any more of these things or not. You don't have a prayer list, get you one. Get you a little notebook and put some names on there. I could go through this notebook and I can tell you where this one and the date God answered the prayer, and this one the God answered the prayer, and this one the Lord said He was going to do it. That's just as good as it being done. I stop asking Him and start thanking Him for it. Go on to praying for something else. Prayer is one of the keys. Of course, I'm into the little bit of tomorrow's lesson, but you wouldn't go to the grocery store without a grocery list, would you? If you do, you'd come back with all kinds of things. Well, how are you going to go pray? You ever get down to pray for an hour and in 5 minutes you've said all you got to say? Ooh, boy, I hit something there. Maybe, you know. Prayer we all need to learn more about prayer. It's an unending subject. But plant you a little garden in a book. Put a name in there. And say, now, God, I've got some names in here. I said, Lord, I'm not going to turn you loose on that one until you do something. And there's one fellow in here, a fellow named John Councilman in Ohio. I said to the Lord the other day, I said, God, I haven't given up on him, have you? When I was praying. I said, God, I haven't given up on that man, have you? Because there's no sign anywhere of anything happening. Man was a minister. And so on and so on. But oh, I've got some in there. Preachers, other people, sin in their lives, and separation, divorced even. God put them back together, restored the family, restored them to the kingdom of God. I marked it down as prayer answered. I don't care if there's 100 million other people praying for it. I asked God for it, it happened. As far as I'm concerned, I got an answer. Who cares how it comes from? Which way, you know, how many... if I got something that I need, you all pray for it. I'll give you the credit as long as it happens. But the point I'm making is put their names in a book. Hallelujah. Well, Acts 1:15, 2:42, 3:1, 4:31, 6:4, 10:2, 10:9, 12:5, and 12, 12:2 and 3, 16, 12, 13, and 16, and 16:25. All talks about prayer. Read the book of Acts. My Lord. They got called before the Sanhedrin, and they give them a whipping, and what did they do? They went and prayed. Wonder what some of us would do. The second thing that was strong about the early church is declared the whole truth of the gospel. Now you say, well, there's so many doctrines and so much, half-truth. You know the best way to combat half-truths is just tell the truth and keep walking. Tell the truth and keep walking. God will move opposing forces and things, whatever they are, out of your way if you're determined to win a soul. And not only that, He'll show you how. You'll find out that you will do things and say things that you never dreamed you could do. You start with your submission to the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow night is dedication. All right? The best way to combat false doctrine and partial truth is to tell the truth. Now, number three, they were led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. I have to touch on this just a little bit. The book says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How many are familiar with that scripture? How many is quoted? All right, there's a scripture in Hebrews, or in Romans, I think, 6 and something other, that says that you're not adults, you're babes. You need the milk of the Word. Well, those two scriptures tie together. You can tell a child, now, Johnny, quit that. All the time, especially if it's a very young child. You don't get the response. But the more mature the child becomes, the more they're able to respond to your verbal instruction. You can say, now, John, you sit right there. And he'll do it, especially if he's about 10 or 12 years old, like these boys right there, sitting there just pretty as you please, listening to me. One of the marks of maturity in your Christian life is your ability to be led by the Spirit. One of the marks of maturity in your Christian life is to be led by the Spirit. Not a Spirit, but the Spirit. There are many voices in the world. And if you're not careful, you hear the wrong one. You got to pray. And I wish I had about 2 hours just to talk about prayer, but that's something else. Then you've got to believe, be convinced. And that's another lesson on whether or not this is the truth, not just a truth. You really believe you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost and live a clean, holy life to go to glory? You sure you don't think of some other way? Not if my Bible's right. And I say that kindly. I don't see any other way. They were led by the Spirit. Acts 3, the lame man. How many times Peter and John go by that lame man until all of a sudden the Spirit said, now? Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5:19. Acts 8:26. Hey, there's a classic example. Spirit spoke to Philip and said, yeah, turn to the desert on the Gaza Strip. What, nothing out there? Desert. Desert out in Arizona, you die in 4 hours, you don't have a canteen of water. I doubt if Philip even had a canteen. But the Holy Ghost said, go. And he went, and here from the other direction came a chariot. And all the gospel went to Ethiopia because of Philip's obeying the Spirit of God. I was sitting in a restaurant in Ohio one time, drinking a cup of coffee on my way south on some business somewhere. I forget what it was. Might have been going to evangelize. The Holy Ghost said, right now, go to the Bible bookstore and ask for the book, They Speak with New Tongues, by John Sherrill. Well, I'd been there before. It was a Baptist bookstore at a church. They didn't have it. Silly. But I recognize it's the voice of God. And you can too. You better learn to hear from God. You say, well, I got a pastor. Yes, and you'll hear through him. But you need to be able to hear from God for yourself. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, you turn that pancake over, as many as are not led by the Spirit, you're still a little baby. You ain't grown up. Is that all right? All right. Anyhow, I got up and went right into that bookstore. The fellow was on his lunch hour there. In 5 minutes, he would have been gone. I asked for the book. He said, hey, that's the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you about it. I said, yes, I got it 35 years ago. He said, I got it 3 weeks ago. I said, let's get out of here. We headed for a restaurant, and to make a long story short, he was a deacon in a certain church just a few miles away. He said, 3 months ago, our whole church began to get the Holy Ghost. Slain in the Spirit, people being healed, even the pastor got the Holy Ghost. I said, well, glory. I put his pastor in touch with a brother in Cincinnati, and 3 times before the weekend, they corresponded by phone. Didn't even get a chance to get together. That Sunday morning, that whole church had one of the shouting service, and some of the mossback deacons got together and voted that preacher out and fired him. That night they met in the motel, 160 people showed up. But while that young man, that pastor who I've never met, and this preacher from Cincinnati, who the Lord said put him in touch with, were together over a 6-hour period one time, that man said, let me ask you something. Said a few months ago, said, if you'd have said Pentecost to me, I wouldn't want nothing to do with it. I said, I guess I am now. Oh, I'm not going to take that name across the door down. But he said, what about this baptism in Jesus' name? He says, if that's right, I want it for me and for my congregation. You say, what happened? I don't know. I did my part. I got up and left my coffee there and went and asked the question. As many as are led by the Spirit. Saints of God, the Lord wants to lead you into winning souls. Now, I'm not talking about revelations and all that business. We're talking about being led to souls and knowing what to say and how to say it and how to get them in a position to feel the Spirit of God. Glory. Boldness, 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 an obvious trait of the early church. Outstanding characteristics. Prayer, declared the whole truth, best way to overcome error. We're led by the Spirit. Boldness, boldness, boldness. Taught in synagogues, streets, prisons, house to house. Here it is. Anywhere people would listen. Anytime people would listen, we have men and women with an urgent mission. How urgent is your mission for God? Do you really believe this is the only way to be saved? Well, glory. The value of a soul. I wish I had time to talk about that. Saints of God, if you believe that this is the way to be saved, that alone is enough to motivate you to do some spectacular or unusual or you name it, things to get people saved. Hallelujah. Matthew 16:26. I believe the brother preached on it. What if a man gained the whole world and lose his soul? Are you trading a soul you could win for the things you're doing that are relatively unimportant? Do you value a soul as Jesus did from the age of 12? Wish you had time to read John 4:34 and 35 about the harvest. I would to God, and I believe He's going to do it, that you would catch such a vision of the lost in this city that every person you see that doesn't have the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you'll see the flames around them and realize that you have the message. You have the truth. And you have the ability to give them enough so that they will have an opportunity to respond to it. See, I'm not talking about inviting folks to church. I'm not talking about inviting church. If you use that as a substitute for soul winning, you are so far off, it's pitiful. Now, again, I'm not minimizing folks that have been invited and got the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. But listen, we need to reach further than that. And did you know that 80% of the people in the United Pentecostal Church that are one to God are done by people who have had the Holy Ghost less than 6 months? 80% one to God by people who have had the Holy Ghost less than 6 months. We've got an example of that in our church. I saw a couple came back in, this couple here, and another couple bringing them in, you know, the next night, the next day. What's the rest of us doing? You see, what happens after a while, we get kind of settled down. We are drinking at the fountain, and we're enjoying our salvation so much that we have forgotten about the lost that are going to hell every day that we come in contact with. I worked for a captain in Arizona one time, and I didn't remember how I tried, but this has been a number of years ago, and one morning that captain didn't show up at his desk, and the explanation came that his car had gone off a cliff, and he was killed. Oh, it hit me. My God, why didn't I do or say something to try to reach him with the truth? And I stood at the casket of a young lady one time, and I said, God, have I done everything that I can to help her? And the Holy Ghost spoke so quickly, yes. You see, we have a responsibility. Because you have the Holy Ghost, God has given you a responsibility for your neighbor and your brother and the people you work with and the people that you encounter every day. That is why we must have personal evangelism. Of course, you won't get involved in personal evangelism if you're satisfied. I said if you're satisfied where you are. It's a fact, it's a common fact that you must be dissatisfied in order to move from where you are. I pray that you be so dissatisfied that you will have to pray until God gives you a burden that will just eat you up about the lost. Now, having a burden is necessary, but we've got to know where to go from there. And that's going to be what we're going to do the next two nights. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about dedication and what you must personally have to be a soul winner. And Saturday night, we're going to talk about how to and how to start a conversation and how to measure your effectiveness. And then, the Lord willing, won't be able to do it Sunday probably because of the services, but one day soon we want to go out with some of you, particularly the young men, and show you how it works. Every conversation has within it a little brass ring. You just reach out and catch it with your spiritual finger. You've got hold of it, and you can start it your direction and talk about their soul. I came out of a hospital room with a pastor in Louisiana one time. We just prayed for a sister. And I walked fast ahead of the pastor and went up to the desk. And this was a little country hospital way out in the sticks of Louisiana. And I leaned over the desk to the lady that was operating the switchboard. And I said, you have a beautiful hospital. She said, oh, yes, the girls are just always cleaning it up. And I felt that anointing. And listen, that's something you've got to feel. You've got to be led by the Spirit. You can have all the knowledge and all the how-to and all the methods and all this business. Unless you're led by the Spirit, you will not be effective because you're working in the kingdom of God. You're an emissary of the Lord. You're doing His will. I said, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could sweep out our soul the same way? By that time, the pastor had walked up there, and this woman burst into tears and said, oh, if I could just get rid of these cigarettes. Conviction! The Spirit of God moved on her immediately, and the pastor reached for a Bible. There was one there. I began to witness to her. If he did his job in Paula too, chances are Mrs. Phillips is in the church today. Every conversation. I don't care where you are. Every person you meet. Now, you don't go up to everybody you meet and hit them with Acts 2:38. No. We'll get into the how-to on Saturday. But you see, first of all, you've got to be committed to winning souls. God, I got to have me a soul. Hannah in 1 Samuel. And the lady in 30th chapter of Genesis. Who was it? That said, give me children or I die. Rachel, you got to have the spirit and the attitude and the desire of Rachel. God, I got to have a soul. Lord, I haven't won a soul yet. I know we got people filled with the Holy Ghost in our church, and the church is doing good, but Lord, what about me? If you believe in the doctrines of reward and punishment, I believe it's scriptural. When you stand before the Lord, what are you going to bring the Master? Huh? What are you? I'm talking about you as an individual. What are you going to bring the Master? Oh, I lived a good life. Well, so what? To present your body a living sacrifice is just reasonable. Nothing exceptional about that. What have you done for the Master? He died that you might have His Spirit and the ability to reach out and reproduce your experience in others. Have you done it? God help you if you haven't. You'll never forget about 10... No, Lord, it's been more than that. 20 years ago, I guess, out in Arizona. My daughter was small. I went to a youth camp. There was a young man at youth camp who was... He'd been in about 5 foster homes. He had all kinds of problems. He was trying to get the Holy Ghost. And I worked with him and counseled him and prayed for him and was his buddy and his father confessor. You know, everything I did. Bought him Cokes. Seemingly to no avail. But I did all I could. You know, about 3 weeks later, my phone rang at 12 o'clock one night, and this young man was just jumping up and down. He said, Brother Douglas, I got the Holy Ghost. You know, I got a little share in that. I got a little credit there somewhere. I was teaching in the teenage class then, and we had a 13-year-old girl in our class, and it wasn't going to go to the youth camp. I said, I forget her name now. Last name was doesn't matter what her name is. Anyhow, I said, you're going to go to youth camp, or I'm going to talk to your mother. Make you go. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. She went to youth camp. And I was over on the boys' side, and we had about, 25 or more get the Holy Ghost. And the moment she got the Holy Ghost, way over in the crowd, didn't even see her, I knew it. And I took a whole carload of them down to the bottom of the hill to a telephone. She called her mother and said, I got the Holy Ghost. I got a little credit there. Saints of God, we got to be aware. We've got to be aware, alert, sensitive. A little benefits. Let me cover them. The benefits of personal evangelism. All right? I might ask how many of you have sometimes problems you don't think you're going to be able to solve. Let me tell you, get involved with personal evangelism and you're talking about problems dissolving. Solving and dissolving. You know why? Because you won't be looking at yourself. You'll be looking at someone else. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5, that's one of the benefits of personal evangelism. Because you got to have it to be a personal evangelist. Acts 2:40, save yourself. You are going to save yourself if you get others saved. The devil will have to clear a wide path for you. He won't get inside your ring of defenses if you're on fire for God and a soul winner for God and winning others to the Lord. I didn't say invite them to church. That is a different situation. Compassion, Matthew 9:36. I wish I had time to cover all these. I don't. How much compassion do you have for the lost? I went in a restaurant one time with someone and I looked and all of a sudden I saw it. I actually had to leave. I said, I can't take it. Do you believe hell is real and the fires burn forever? And that men who do not have the truth nor are not filled with the Spirit of God are going to go there? Ah, Lord, that's enough to... Well, let's go on. Revelations 2:4, your first love renewal. That's what will happen. You get involved with personal evangelism. 80% of new converts, UPC, won by new converts, less than 6 months with the Holy Ghost. An example at Macon. Can you see that all right? Here it is, Romans 8:14 versus Hebrews 5:13. Copy down and read it. Babes versus sons.
Which are you? Do you want to mature in the Lord, grow stronger, be confident, not have to call Brother Johnson, say, oh, Brother Johnson, I got such a terrible problem. Oh. I'll tell you, this church gets about 600 or 800 or 1,000 or 1,500. He ain't going to be able to give you the attention he has. And I'm not minimizing any problems you have. That's between you and the pastor. I don't know about any of them. But I know what happens in churches. You get involved in personal evangelism and win soul and get everything else out of your mind, and your problems will begin to be solved. God will give you answers that you have been struggling for months. Why? Because you're after God's own heart. The thing that's closest to His heart is winning souls, getting somebody filled with the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Oh, I wish I had an hour just to talk about that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. Now, we've had the glory of a revival and the glory of a beautiful contest, but we don't want to go down. We want to go up. We want to step from glory to glory. Did you read that at your own time? Rachel's spirit, Genesis 30:1. Give me children or I'm going to die. Now, that's what it takes, desperation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, I could get on to renewal, but I think I'll wait till tomorrow night. We must be more willing to give away what we have that we might gain something more. We must be willing to give away what we have that we might gain something more. You have the Holy Ghost, my friend. That is all God could give you. But He wants you to impart that to someone else. And on Saturday night, we're going to talk to you about how to have a conversation and how to get the Spirit of God to actually move and work with you. And every time that I've done that and seen other people do it, the Spirit of God had moved. I've seen atheists weep and cry. It doesn't get them all filled with the Holy Ghost. But boy, I'm telling you, something happens. And how many likes to have something happen every time you talk to somebody about their soul? Well, that's what I'm talking about, personal evangelism. Hallelujah. We get by giving. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. Let me read this, and I'm going to ask Brother Johnson to come up and we'll close. Many timid souls, and I don't think we got any of those here, many timid souls are not willing to leave the victories of the past and continue to testify and talk of those blessed things that have happened to them years ago, but those renewed in the Holy Ghost and interested in personal evangelism will talk of the present power of God and glory of God, proclaim the wonderful things happening now and the victories that are coming in the future. And before we are through, we want to be able to have you write down some names, or at least some names, that people you're going to work on. We want to focus on this thing. We may do that on Saturday, because we want to see some results. And I'm also going to suggest that sometime a little later on we have another replay of this, or at least a portion of the service where we can have some testimonies of what has happened. If you put into practice what we're going to teach you the next two nights, I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, your life will never be the same. I said, your life will never be the same. I found this to be true. It's to me just like the Lord is waiting. Now, take, for example, this businessman that I talked to, Larry. What's his name? God's waiting for me to go see that man again. I have been so busy with so many other things that I haven't gone to see him. I know if I call him tomorrow and say, Larry, let's have lunch, or just walk into his shop, the Spirit of God will go with me, and he will feel the power and the presence of God, and I'll be able to plant some more seed. That's the way it works. You don't have a garden the next day after you plant it, do you, Brother Henderson? No, you got to cultivate it. You got to pick out the weeds. You got to go back and check on it. You got to water it a little bit. But oh, when it happens, my Lord, when it happens. 15 or more years ago in Michigan, took one of my wife's nieces, who was a very, very rough lady. She's had a number of difficulties in life, but she went to church with me one time. And she kind of made fun and carried on. But I talked to her and prayed for her and just waited. And here, just recently, her son went to a UPC school, an ACE school like you're getting. And I was up there, and the young man came in and sat down. I said, "Jeff, have you learned some scriptures in school?" "Oh, yes." And he began to quote the scripture. And that young man, if he hasn't got the Holy Ghost already, he's going to get it. And not only that, his mother apologized. Said, "I'm sorry that I acted the way I did years ago." Said, "I didn't understand." I said, "There's something there. I want to, you know." And she talked to my wife at great length. So you see, we don't set a time schedule, a time frame. God will give you results, some of it right away, just to encourage you. Maybe somebody else planted a seed. But we don't work on our own schedule. We work according to God's time frame. Hallelujah. 18 years ago, God gave me a vision about a certain individual getting the Holy Ghost. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen before too long. Without a vision, the people perish. Do you have a vision of souls getting the Holy Ghost? Can you look at your neighbor and see him talking in tongues? If you can, you can win him. Or at least bring him to the point where he will feel the Spirit of God and see his need and have to reject it, and your burden for him will be lifted. This is what I'm talking about. This is the heart of personal evangelism on a one-to-one basis. Don't miss tomorrow night and Saturday night. We'll talk about how to on Saturday, and tomorrow night we'll talk about some things about dedication and some of the things we've got to have in order to get the job done. Some of it will be reruns, but we may introduce you some new material. At least we'll do our best to hold your interest. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Brother Johnson. Everybody say praise the Lord.
My heart and love that soul through me and may I ever do my part to win that ought to be the desire, the overwhelming burden of every one of our hearts. If you don't have this burden now, by God's grace, I plan to preach it into you. I plan to have more of these seminars. I will be calling in different men. By the grace of God, we are going to have a soul-winning church. Amen. Amen. I want revival in Macon, Georgia. Amen. Not long ago, and I'm not saying this for any praise or any glory, not long ago, I was begged by the pastor of another church to come and take another church. It could have very well increased my income $10,000 a year. How many of you would turn down a raise of $10,000 a year? But Macon, Georgia is eating my heart out. I want souls in this town to find God. Brother Douglas, by the grace of God, I plan to change truth. Change truth. And this church is going to help me. I heard this years ago, but in the last year or two, it has just torn my heart out. It's truth, but I plan by the grace of God to change it. It's true that 75% of the new converts are won by people that had the Holy Ghost for a year and less. It's true. But I don't believe it has to be. I don't believe it ought to be. Amen. I believe that us folks that's had the Holy Ghost longer than 6 months can win souls. Amen. I believe that we've had the Holy Ghost for 10, 15, 20 years. We can win souls to God. They say the reason that young converts win souls to God is because they're excited about what they got. Well, dear Lord, have mercy. I'm excited about what I got. Hallelujah to God. And y'all can sit there and look if you want to, but I think it's time that we got excited about what's burning inside of our hearts and we become a firebrand for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know sometimes teaching seems a little slow and it seems a little dry, but I want to tell you something. You got to take your time and get it in you. But then when you get it in you, oh, brother, praise God, praise God. Remember when I was going to Mexico taking these treatments for arthritis, they'd put that IV in my arm and give me some of that DMSO in my arm. And the first treatment of that thing, it'd take, 6 hours, 8 hours to take it. They just dropped that thing so slow. I'd get so tired. I'd get so bored about that, just laying there, waiting for that IV drip, drip. I'd call a nurse and say, she's Spanish and couldn't hardly talk English, but I'd make all kind of motions and, you know, just everything to tell her it's too slow. And she said, oh, no. No, got to go slow. But when it got it in me, you see, the arthritis started feeling better. The pain started subsiding. And then I begin to feel the fire of that thing, the warmth of it. Sometimes we got to teach and we got to say how and we got to impress this thing and it takes time. But after a while, when it gets in us, it ought to explode in the Holy Ghost revival. I want to clear one thing up because I don't want this misunderstood. And I know Brother Douglas, he just did a tremendous job tonight. And I thank God for it. Sometimes when you're teaching one thing, it sounds like you're minimizing something else. Now, Brother Douglas said several things about not inviting people to church. Now, he wasn't talking about church invitations. He's talking about winning souls. So don't you leave here and say, Brother Johnson got up and told us quit inviting people to church, so I'm not going to invite them no more. He didn't teach that. He was teaching winning the souls to God, which is a further step than inviting them to church. Amen. Amen. I told you the other night, you can be a witness and still lose the case. We don't want to be just witnesses. We want to be soul winners, and I promise to let you go by 9 o'clock, so get up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you love Jesus? You want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a soul winner? Oh, God, give a soul. In your prayers, in your thanksgivings, you have thanked me many times for the revival that you are having. You have praised me for what I have done in your midst, and you have said, thank you, Lord, for giving us the revival that we've been praying for. But my little children, you have not seen the revival you have been praying for. This is only the beginning of what I am going to do for you. I have heard your prayers. I have heard your cries. I have seen your tears. And you have not had the revival you've been praying for. You have only seen the beginning of the greatness of the power that I am going to manifest in your midst. You have seen miracles, but you shall see greater. You have seen signs and wonders, but you shall see greater. You have seen souls come in, but you shall see more and more, because the things that I do shall you do an even greater. Let's praise God. Let's praise God.
Hallelujah! Here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, let's praise God. It's praising time in Macon, Georgia. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Douglas. You said so many wonderful things tonight. Excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with lies. Hallelujah. Inviting people to church is no substitute for soul winning. Glory. Must be dissatisfied to win souls. Give what you have to obtain that you don't have. Thank you, Brother Douglas. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Some time ago, a person went to a doctor, and they showed me their medicine. And they said, the doctor said, this is powerful stuff. But he told me, he said, after you take a few of them, he said, you're going to feel better. But I said, I want you to keep taking them until you take every last one of them, no matter how good you feel. This seminar comes in 3 doses. Now, some of you are going to go home tonight and say, well, I got all there is to it. You ain't got but 1/3 of it. And you take 1/3 of it without the other 2 doses and probably won't do you a lick of good. But you come back and take all 3 doses. He said so much about tomorrow night and Saturday night, I can't hardly wait. Let's just, well, glory. Praise the Lord. Good to have all of you here tonight. Good to have our visitors with us. Lord, bless your heart. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenny, why don't you just dismiss us in prayer tonight? God love your heart.